wanted to do today, I wanted to talk from a scripture, well, not from a scripture, but basically, from a scripture in Exodus 17. But last time I was here, I spoke about the power of prayer and I used a number of scriptures, one being from Daniel 9 and 10, and I think it was 1 Kings 18, where Elijah prayed. Remember, Elijah prayed for rain and he prayed 7 times before he seen the result of his prayer. And the result of his prayer came through this persistence and his humility before the Lord. So the scripture said he had his head between his knees. Somebody asked me afterwards, how can you put your head between your knees? Which is, I tried it actually, it's pretty hard to do. But anyway, it was a position, it was a posture of humility before the Lord. So he humbled himself before the Lord. He prayed 7 times and through his persistence, we've seen this breakthrough happen. So what the scripture is showing us is that delay, God's delays for us when we pray are not necessarily him refusing us, but God's doing something deeper. Whether it's something in our hearts or whether it's something spiritually that's released as we pray in the spiritual realm that brings a breakthrough. So I wanted to follow on from that. And the title of the talk is to devote yourself to prayer. And Colossians 4:2 is a simple scripture. And it says this, devote yourself to prayer, be watchful and thankful. So the scripture, just as an introduction here, is just encouraging us to be dedicated and committed to prayer. And at the moment in the community, we have this extra prayer, whether it's in clusters or whether it's here at the centre. And I believe that the Lord is trying to help us enter into a spirit of prayer. You know, Jerry and I know this lady through, it's a 7-Eleven, so I have to be careful on that. I love 7-Eleven coffees. And it's our local coffee shop at Campbelltown, this certain part. But she was telling us this story of something that happened near their store, and it's absolutely, absolute tragedy. An absolute tragedy that happened there. And I was saying to Jerry, you know, many of us have had tragedies in our lives or tragedies, but the difference is we've got Jesus and there's hope. Even though there's this desperate situation, this lady was, you know, I don't want to say it because of I'm on camera, but it's absolute tragedy. Not the lady, the 7-Eleven lady, this what happened near their store. And I just again made me resolve again, we have the answer. And when we pray, things change. And it's a call to prayer. And I believe that that's what the Lord's calling us to. Joe's put on this extra prayer. And particularly corporate prayer. So last time I looked at the power of prayer, covenant, what it does, and how it affects us in an individual way. This way, I want to look at corporate prayer, what it releases. So I want to look today at the book of Exodus and draw out this important, the importance of prayer, particularly of the importance of praying together in unity. And that's, you know, what we've done. We've worshipped in unity. But praying together in unity and the power it releases. In this story we're going to read, we see this tough journey of the Israelites. So they're walking through the wilderness in Exodus 17. And it shows us an incredible battle that they faced against the Amalekites, this enemy, at a place called Rephidim. So this event, I've read this scripture and it's amazing. Oh, just the principles from the scripture really excited me. I came across it a few weeks ago. I was reading it and just reflecting on prayer, and the principles in it are incredible. And so this is why I wanted to share it. But this event where they faced the Amalekites took place shortly after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. So they weren't into the promised land yet, but they crossed the Red Sea and they were travelling through the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. So that's a bit of a backstory. But this story is pivotal in that it's woven with so many layers. Again, I'm just going to unpack a few, but it shows us that how God prophetically calls his people into covenant with him, this exchange of persons, this marriage. You know, we get the better deal when we marry to God. It shows us how God calls his people into the covenant to align themselves with him so that they can walk in his life and victory. And this is what this first battle we see. It also shows us that the release, and this is coming back to the story that I read, that I talked about this lady, we heard this story. It also shows us that the release of God's kingdom on earth hinges on this joint authority, the joint authority that we have with God vertically through prayer and with one another. And when there's an agreement, it releases the kingdom of God in the earth. But it hinges on the joint authority that we have with God, which puts us in a place of responsibility, and it also puts us in a place of authority to walk in the authority that God's given us, to position ourselves and align our hearts with God and with people to see the power that God releases through our prayer and cooperation with Him. So in this cooperation, we see this profound interplay in this story between three things: leadership being Moses, prayer and intercession. So we see prayer and intercession, joining heaven and earth through prayer. And then we see a communal support, or the role of the community. So we see leadership, we see prayer, and then we see the broader community. These three things that we see releases this incredible power of God in the earth. Now, reading the story, I know for me it challenged me, because in our individualistic culture that focuses on doing things alone, we might not realise how working together under right spiritual authority, and in this case Moses, and prayer, with prayer and community, support is so important. We can fail to see it through our lens of this radical individualism that's flourishing in our Western culture. So we tend to see God more how He relates to me, or how my life relates to God personally, and miss this corporate dimension. So it's easy to overlook these crucial connections, because we often prefer, if you're like me at all, I often prefer doing things on my own, or maybe my own way. But what we see in this story, as Joshua leads a fight against the Amalekites, Moses, accompanied by Aaron and Hur, assume this posture of prayer on a hill, and they start to pray. What unfolds is incredible. So it's not just this military battle, but it's a picture behind this military battle is this interconnectedness of spiritual authority, the power of a unified people in submission to God. So they're under the authority of Moses. Moses leads them. They obey what Moses says. They're under right authority. They're under submission to God, and they're in submission to one another. So there's this solidarity happening, this unity that's happening corporately. Now, I believe that corporate, unified prayer anchored in humility, because this only can happen through humility if we're humble enough. And this is what Joe was talking about, giving God the glory. Humility is my dependent. Am I dependent upon God? And this is what we'll see in the story of Moses. His absolute dependence on God in this situation. And in our individualistic culture, most of the times, again, if I'm talking about myself, I go to everything else but God. But humility is the key here. It's this humility, unity, so there's a unity with God and with other people, and servanthood. So I believe corporate unified prayer anchored in humility, unity, servanthood. I'm willing to serve. I'm coming in as a servant, not trying to take any position. I'm serving the body of Christ. Now, in this context, nothing, as I say in the scriptures, nothing confronts the devil more than this unity. He's so afraid of a unified people because of the collective power it releases through covenant. He can't stand it, and he's frightened of it, because everyone gets to play in the prayer. Whether you're a great intercessor or you're just someone who's struggling, when there's unified prayer, it has a collective form in the presence of God that releases tremendous spiritual power in the earth. So guarding unity in the church, or, as you know, in a family, in a sporting team, whatever, guarding unity is crucial. So I believe that unified prayer, on the other hand, what the devil wants to take down. Unified prayer, nothing empowers us more in the body of Christ than this in the Holy Spirit, unified prayer. So again, for our individualistic culture, we see things very individually, and that's right in its right place. I pray for breakthrough for my family. I pray for my job. I pray these things. But in the context of the body of Christ in his people, when there's unified prayer, it releases incredible power. And this is what we'll see. So it doesn't mean that we won't go through suffering or that bad things won't happen to us. This is what this talk doesn't mean, because Jesus promised us that in Matthew 16. That's the reality of life. But what it does mean is that there's this principle that as we capture it, we see God release tremendous victories. Victories that if we don't come into this, we won't see. That's what it is. So we'll see this clearly illustrated in this story. So the story is in Exodus 17 and it's verses 8 to 13. And it's the Amalekites' defeat. So verse 8, the Amalekites came to attack the Israelites at Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur, so the three of them, went to the top of the hill. Very interesting here, verse 11. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. Isn't it crazy? It's just a really simple story, but it's packed with so much. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So here is a long battle. It's not a prayer that's prayed and God answers. There's a battle happening in the spiritual realm, which we talked about last time from Daniel. When we start to pray in this prolonged times, if God doesn't answer straight away, something deeper is happening, either in our hearts or in the heavenly realms where God wants to break through. That's why persistence, heartfelt persistence in prayer, is so important. You hear Joe say time and time again, we need to pray things through till we get the breakthrough, till we get victory. Verse 13. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Okay, so here in this story, we witness three crucial moments in the journey of the Israelites, which is the battle against the Amalekites at Rephidim. The scene unfolds with the Amalekites attacking, prompting Moses to instruct Joshua to assemble a fighting force. So this is very practical. Moses tells Joshua, and this is the first time I think Joshua is mentioned in the scriptures. So Moses calls Joshua out and says, you know, assemble an army and go and fight the Amalekites. So Moses firstly takes some practical steps, but then look at what Moses does. Moses teaches us something profound about his relationship with God. He shows us its uniqueness. How, in this verse, in his total reliance on God. So he has his total reliance on God by declaring his intention, which we've seen in verse 9. He's going to stand on top of the hill with the staff in his hand, the staff of God in his hand, for victory. That's just a simple scripture. But how many of us are willing to stand on top of a hill with the staff of God in our hands for victory? Now, that staff for us can be many things. It can be the declaration of God's word and his promises over our lives that we declare. It can be positioning ourselves before the Lord and praying in the Spirit till we see breakthrough. But again, our culture doesn't lend to this, does it? It's because it's more we want. That's why I go to 7-Eleven. The coffees are quicker there than McDonald's. And they're a lot cheaper. But it doesn't lend to our culture. And this is where when we hold extra prayer, who finds it All the intercessors put up your hand when you say who finds it easy to pray. It's a difficulty, and we see Moses, he got weary from the battle. Now, this is the great leader, the humblest man in all the earth, God said. And here he is, he's tired and he's weary in the battle. And he needs some companions to come and help him. But we see the result. So Moses has this total reliance on God and he positions himself before the Lord. That's the posture he takes. He positions himself for the Lord for the victory. Remember, the Amalekites are an army coming out against them to destroy them. Now, this is speaking for us about spiritual enemies that want to destroy us. The devil wants to destroy our community. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want us ever to come into unity. He doesn't want us ever to walk in covenant. He doesn't want us ever to come under right spiritual authority. So what does he try to do? He'll destroy us. He might try to make us lukewarm. He might make us be in a position where we're here, but we're not under spiritual authority, or we're in a community, but we're not really in community. Maybe because, like all of us have to work through, whether there's offense or whatever, there's unforgiveness, they're the things that I have to work through in my heart all the time. But with God's grace, it's possible. But if we can move beyond that and see what the enemy is trying to do and see what God wants to release, it gives us tremendous courage to move on. So here lies this valuable lesson for us. Moses does not shrink from the reality of opposition. How many of us like opposition? But that's what Moses shows us. He doesn't shrink from the reality of opposition. He's come through. He's God's man. They're going into the promised land, and here they are under attack. So Moses teaches us, firstly, that opposition is a reality that we can't hide from. I like hiding from it. And secondly, Moses teaches us not to shrink back in the face of opposition. Instead, he acknowledges it and responds proactively. In facing the Amalekites, Moses shows us a good example of how to engage with the challenges that come our way. He shows us how to assess the situation by taking necessary preparations, practical preparations we may need to take. But then he shows us how to take steps to address the enemy or the adversities that we're facing, and he shows us how to address them. And guess what his strategy is? You got to speak to me when I have a drink. His strategy is head on. He takes the enemy on head on. But he's strategic in his what he does. So look what happens. As Joshua engages in the battle, this fascinating dynamic emerges. Moses, accompanied by Aaron and Hur, assumes this posture of intercession. So they've got Joshua fighting physically in the battle, and then Moses, Aaron and Hur assume this position of posture of intercession. The story illustrates this connectedness between Moses' raised hands in verse 11, which we've seen, and the success of the Israelites in battle. Whenever his hands are lifted, the tide turns in favour of the Israelites. Whenever they're lowered, the Amalekites gain ground. Now, isn't this true in our lives? When our hands are lifted towards God in prayer, what happens is as we start to do that and as we start to pray, we start to see the reality that we're facing, but there's a difference in our sight. We start to see that reality with God. And what's released in our hearts because of the reality we're seeing coming against us with God, faith is released in our hearts and victory is released. But if you think of when our hands are down and we're not praying, what happens? We start to see reality, the same thing. We see the battle, reality, but we see reality without God. And it leads to defeat. But in this story, what's encouraging is that Moses needed other people to help him. And this is the key to the story. Now, Moses is in a position of spiritual authority in intercession, tied from the battle. So he's tied from the battle, faces this physical challenge, which we see of weary hands. And in this moment of vulnerability, we see Aaron and Hur, I think that's how you say it, H-U-R, is that Hur, step forward. So they come forward not just as bystanders here, but as a real support for Moses. They come around Moses and support him. They provide Moses with a stone to sit on, and more significantly, they hold up his hands, one on each side. Now, their actions show us the importance of praying and working together in unity and the power it releases. It shows us the importance of taking our place in the battle that everyone is needed when facing the enemy or the adversity or adversity. But everyone in the body of Christ is needed to defeat the enemy. That's what it's showing. This is where it comes ties back into corporate prayer. So you might feel like, well, I can't pray very well. It doesn't matter. It's more, am I under right spiritual authority? Am I in unity? And do I need the community to help me? It doesn't matter the little contribution you make, like the woman with the coin. Jesus said she put in more than everybody else because she gave everything she had. So it's not about gifting, it's about availability to God and giving what we have and what it releases. So the endurance of Moses' raised hand shows us this exponential effect of prayer when we pray with others. There's an exponential release of the power of God when we pray with others. It shows us the significance of unity, shared responsibility. It also shows us the power that's released in agreement. When there's agreement, Jesus said, where two or three gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Whatever two or three agree on earth, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. See, this unity, what this agreement releases. So the picture shows us that true victory is not solely dependent on an individual effort, but it's achieved through others when the burden is shared. Now, there's a scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and it says this, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's a really challenging scripture because, again, it's this corporate dimension of the church. I struggle to carry my burdens. But the scripture is trying to draw us into something that as we start to carry others' burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the Spirit of God working in us that can carry a weight that we could not carry. Isn't that incredible? It's a weight that we couldn't carry. But again, it's challenging us to surrender our hearts to seeing this corporate understanding of the release of the power of agreement, what it releases in the realm of the Spirit. So what's incredible in this battle is the outcome, which is a testament to this unity. Joshua, with the sword, prevails over the Amalekites because of the prayer of Moses, the long, prolonged prayer, and with his hands being lifted by Aaron and Hur on either side. This victory is not just a military triumph, but it's a reflection of this intertwined role of the natural and the spiritual, of leadership, of prayer, and the need to stand with others. And what's also I found interesting in this story is that Aaron and Hur, though highlighted not as prominently as Moses and Joshua. In fact, I did a little study on Hur, and he's only mentioned, I think, three more times in the scriptures. But they're not highlighted as prominently as Moses and Joshua, but they play this indispensable part in this story, again, reminding us the value of those who support and uplift others in prayer in the spiritual battle. And this is why when we pray as a community, we all need to pray together. So looking at this remarkable event, I'm just going to wrap up. In Exodus 17, we see the power of faith at work here and the extraordinary power revealed in unity and prayer, this extraordinary power that's released. This story is a living reality to the importance of coming together in prayer. All of us throughout our lives face twists and turns, ups and downs, don't we? We all face challenges. we face, you know, in our life certain things that challenge us or where the enemy has attacked, whether it comes to us directly or it comes through our generations, we're all facing these things. Now, they might not be as dramatic as the one we see in the scripture here, a life and death situation, but they may be for some people. But the principles here are the same. It's a call to prayer. It's calling us to prayer. So when we're facing challenges, it's calling us to prayer. And this is what we see when we look at the scriptures, whether it's Elijah, whether it's Daniel, whether it's Moses here. The devastating situation that was happening was calling him to prayer. Now, if I look out, and I know some of you, I know a lot of you, I know there's very many challenges you're facing in your life. And this is a positive way where God's calling us to depend upon him and to rely on him and to see what he does as we pray together. So Colossians 4:2, the scripture that I just started with, the little scripture, is calls us, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This call from the scriptures stands out as more than just good advice. It's a foundation for us. So it's an encouragement for us to be proactive, to engage more fully in prayer, learning to trust God in every battle that we're facing. Because as we learn to trust God in the battles that come our way, we grow in faith. And we start to learn the principles that God's trying to teach us, whether that's corporate prayer or whether that's something in my heart that needs to move for me to see victory. This story of Moses, Aaron and Hur is not just a historical event, it's a living illustration for us that what happens in united prayer. So he overcome this army. It's interesting in the battle because they had a physical battle, but there was also a spiritual battle going on in the heavenly realms. Moses standing on a hill in prayer shows us the importance of positioning ourselves before the Lord. It's also acknowledges that we need to be dependent upon God, on nothing else but God. Aaron and Hur supporting Moses shows us the importance of unity and community, that Moses couldn't have received the victory unless he had helpers. And this is where it relates to us. Praying together in unity isn't just a nice idea. It's something that releases spiritual power that defeats the enemy. Now, this is where it's really hard for our Western mind to get this, because our Western mind is very individualistic, but it's also very secular, that it sees things as cause and effect. So it's very scientific and empirical how we see things. But Jesus' worldview is very much different than our worldview. He's seen this integration between the natural world we live in and the spiritual world, and they were integrated. So when a natural circumstances come against us, we tend to act very natural. But because we act in that way, what we do, we cut off the Holy Spirit to bring victory. And because of that, we don't see a release of the power of God or the presence of God. So when we heard the stories from Papua New Guinea, where the people went to Papua New Guinea and they said miracles, everything but the raising of the dead. And I've experienced this in Africa. One of the things that really spoke to me about those cultures, it's not so much of their desperation, which it is. They don't have doctors. But what they have a spiritual worldview, an integration of the natural and the spiritual world. And see, when we read these scriptures in a Western way, we just think it's a nice story with a nice punchline. What am I going to get out of that? Now, if that's the case, that's where we need to go to God and ask him to help us. Because if we want to see a move of God, and getting back to this story of this lady, the only thing that could help this lady is a move of God. And we've got it. We have the answer. We've got it. We've got it. But do we want to come into unity? Do we really want to? It's really challenging. It challenged me. Do I want to submit to right spiritual authority? Well, I might say yes, but then Joe might tell me to do something that I don't want to do. That's the truth. Do I see that authority that God's placed there for my blessing? Because as Aaron and Hur recognized Moses' spiritual authority, they walked in the victory of God because he was under God's authority. You know, Jesus, for example, Jesus could do only miracles because he was under the Father's authority. He operated in authority because he was under authority. Jesus calls us as his disciples. The way we operate in power or authority is we come under right spiritual authority. So we clean that up first. It doesn't mean that leaders are always right or that we have to do everything they ask. But it's a hard, this is a hard attitude. This is a hard attitude. It doesn't mean for me, for example, I have to like Tottenham. It doesn't mean that. It's an attitude. See, because this is how this is a principle of this corporate covenant relationship we live with God and how he releases it in the earth. So it's important. There's this spiritual authority. Then there's unity amongst ourselves. Again, who loves everybody? I don't, do I? Like, we don't. We struggle with these things. We struggle, and we're meant to struggle with these things because we're fallen, but we yield to the Holy Spirit. He gives us the grace to come into unity. It's a hard attitude that God gives us the grace to do. If we can do it in ourselves, we're not dependent upon God. We're dependent on our own glory, which the scripture says are filthy rags before the Lord. So it's acknowledging that. And we see this in Moses, in his authority under God and the defeat, the release it brings. You know, sometimes when we're in prayer, because Pam and Phil have this prayer, they're intercessors, so they have prayer all the time at their house. They've got a prayer room. But sometimes in there, when you're just worshipping the Lord in tongues, you're worshipping the Lord in tongues, there just comes a moment in the spirit where you just break through. There's a breakthrough. And there's this weight of the presence of God. And that's when you decree what God's spoken over us. And it doesn't happen all the time because we're all fickle, aren't we? We're all in different places. Sometimes I go to prayer and I can't get my head off 1,000 things that are going through it, and you persevere and you persevere and you get tired, and then you go, oh, I'm not going to go again because I find it hard. But if you can come into unity, right spiritual authority, unity, community, if you come that way, as you start to persist and you start to pray in the spirit, you start to pray in the spirit, this integrated worldview that I talked about that Jesus had, the natural and the spiritual, when we pray in tongues, what happens is we start to integrate our spirit with God's spirit, and then God starts to flood my thinking. And we break through. When we break through, we see a release of the kingdom of God. And that's what I believe that the Lord wants to release more, you know, gradually more as we press in, as we come together in prayer. So when we commit to prayer, not just individually, but corporately, we stand ready, and this is what happens in this corporate dimension, we stand ready to overcome anything that comes our way. Again, it doesn't mean that we won't suffer. It doesn't mean that we won't have tragedies. It doesn't mean we won't have pain. It doesn't mean, because God works through all those things too. But just in finishing this, as a little summary, the church, if you think of the church, it's a living organism, which we see in Colossians 1:18, where Jesus is the head of his church, directing his church. From Jesus, all life flows. As God's people, we have a responsibility to cooperate with Jesus, with him, giving him all glory. And this is where maybe we repent, where we've taken the glory, we've seen the glory in our own ability, in what we've done, and we think it's us. This relationship that Jesus is inviting us into joins us in a divine partnership with God where we can release his authority in the earth. It's extraordinary, the relationship that he offers us. It's a joint authority that hinges on the authority he's given to us and the authority that's joined to God. And he wants to give it to us more fully. So one way that we can do this is, as the scripture says in Galatians 6:2, is to bear one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. But one way we can do that, fulfilling the law of Christ, is through collective prayer. Now, humility equals right authority. Right authority equals unity. In unity, there's community, and then there's a release of the power of God. That's what he wants to do in us. Humility first. Humility. How do we humble ourselves? One way the scripture says is by prayer and fasting. Why? Because we're dependent upon God.